This is the Patchwork Suite, where a single musical theme is the common thread in a season of variations. The heart of these variations is the theme we're listening to now, a poetic waltz by Enrique Granados. I'm your Patchwork Suite host, Mary Claire Murphy, and throughout the series, I speak with composers who have graciously written a short work expressly for this podcast. I've asked each composer to draw on both the Granados theme and on a textile they find meaningful. With each new voice we hear, and with each musical sampling, we're building a colorful and diverse patchwork of artistic expression. To the patchwork, we overlay a pattern of triangles, a pattern like one you might find on a kaleidoscopic quilt. Your overall impression of this quilt might evolve as you become more familiar with it. That's part of what makes it so neat. Perhaps at first you focus in on each individual triangle. On second glance, maybe you notice the triangles forming diamonds and squares. Then you start to see pinwheels emerge as you hold your gaze. After examining it long enough, maybe you can even appreciate all those patterns at once as they coexist. Today's Patchwork Suite guest, Joshua Delosier, was keenly interested in such geometric patterns when he pulled a simple three-note motive from the Granados Waltz for his variation. Here's a preview of it.
There's a certain, I don't know, shape, be it like a certain kind of triangle or something, and we see this triangle like flipped upside down, flipped up, you know, sideways, in all sorts of different positions that mirror each other. And then there's arrangements of these triangles. And then as you look out, there's like bigger triangles that the smaller triangles compose. And so this idea of a certain pattern being present at one small level and also at larger levels is something that interests me a lot musically. And so there's something of that going on in this piece.
Joshua is originally from Texas, and having completed a bachelor's degree at Baylor University, he moved on to Bowling Green State University, where he's a current master's student in composition. His participation in the musical arts began back in his youth, and it was a natural extension of the family business.
So my earliest musical memories were of singing four-part hymns in church. So my father was a pastor, and so my family was very involved in the church, and that often included singing. So it was always something that was there and supported. And instruments, I play the piano. What kind of got that started was around, you know, 10 or 11 years old, I became very interested in film music.
Looking through Joshua's lens on film techniques, we get a better idea of how he structures musical fragments to create a deep sense of unity. He references the 1980 horror film The Shining as a model where hidden or underlying structures prove to be really quite evocative.
In the movie, this family ends up working in this hotel over the winter to watch it. But the hotel is not your normal hotel. It's very strange. There's lots of bizarre things going on. And one thing the director, Stanley Kubrick, does to create a sense of unease is that he actually films like the movie in such a way that certain, I don't know, hallways or stairwells or rooms shouldn't exist spatially based on what we've previously seen. So, like, there's people, you know, people who are very meticulous and obsessive about the movie who have drawn these elaborate diagrams of how the hotel layout in the film actually contradicts itself in many ways. And so that's something that I don't think anyone from watching the movie even once or twice would walk away from the cinema thinking about, oh, the hotel didn't make sense, the layout. But whatever part of their brain subconsciously was keeping track of space and time would feel something is wrong in a very deep way. And I think I try to do things like that. Maybe not to, you know, contradict myself, but to perhaps give the piece a certain structural integrity that may not be obvious, but I think is felt in a kind of unconscious way.
The structural integrity of Joshua's patchwork variation grows from a small seed found at the end of the Granados Waltz theme. Let's hear the first phrase of the waltz again so we can dig out those notes and see what we're working with. Now, crop out everything except for the very end. and compare it to the start of Joshua's variation.
It's all based on a little three-note motive from the original waltz theme, F-sharp, A, and G-sharp. I kind of abstracted out, I don't know, some of the intervals in that three-note fragment of F-sharp, A, and G-sharp, which you could think about as a minor third and then a minor second in the opposite direction. So that means you could then play it upside down or backwards, or you could change the octave that it's in or the rhythmic durations that are there. And so you get this huge variety of material that's, you know, you can work with, and you can put all those pieces together into a composition.
Joshua is primarily employing contemporary techniques to shift and flip and otherwise transform his three-note motive. The idea of transformation in general is a pillar we've seen in many different styles of music through the centuries, but Joshua conducts his transformation using an approach that gained traction in the 20th century. Rather than basing his music on scales and harmonic progressions and all the conventions associated with traditional tonality, Joshua formulated his structure from a small collection of pitches we can call a set. In a set-based piece like this, each pitch can be assigned a numeric value between 0 and 11. Joshua's set, as he mentioned, is F-sharp, A, G-sharp, which is alternatively written as 6, 9, 8. The numeric notation of the set makes for more convenient calculations in the process of transformation. Suffice it to say, mathematicians and other fans of set theory would be especially interested in a deeper study of Joshua's variation. But in any case, there is something for everyone to enjoy here. Just like the film The Shining, you could go full nerd and map out the complex structure, or you could go into it and delight in the way the story keeps you on the edge of your seat. There is, after all, really no wrong way to admire a piece of art. Let's not forget, though, at this point we've only considered the element of pitch, and there are lots of other dimensions to factor into our overall impression of the design. If we look to the rhythmic possibilities, for example, another whole world of patterns opens up.
The rhythm specifically is based on a certain ratio of 1:2:3. And I use like that idea and like much more expanded versions of that, like 10, 20, and 30 to deal with like larger sections. And I think it's something that is like, it's very subtle, but I think it gives the piece a certain coherence.
Joshua complements rhythmic expansion with registral expansion, too, as he takes the set from high to low across the course of the variation.
There's kind of a big picture, like, registral expansion, because we start in this kind of middle-high register. And as the piece goes on, we ultimately land quite low on the piano. You know, these sort of big picture, you know, registral shapes in music are something I enjoy very much. And so perhaps paying attention to what's not there in terms of register at the beginning and seeing how that eventually becomes present at the end.
Who knew you could do so much with just three pitches? In a moment, you'll hear Joshua play his complete variation on that set from the Granados Waltz. And as you listen, maybe think of it like a choose-your-own-adventure listening experience.
In general, I kind of hope that the music I write will offer people, you know, many different paths through the sound, so to speak. So, like, much like, I mean, going back to Bach, you know, there's many ways one can listen to a fugue. One can try to focus on one particular voice and follow that through, or perhaps the relationship between one voice and another, or kind of bounce around between the different voices. And so you have a certain, like, agency as a listener when you're listening to that music to choose where your attention is going. And so I hope that I can create music that does something similar, in that there's a lot of details that are present and things that are going on, be they expressive or more mathematical, like some of the things we've been talking about. And if they just direct their attention in a way that they find interesting, perhaps that can be enjoyable. At least that's what I aspire to.
That being said, let the adventure begin. Joshua Delosier wrote that fragment by unpacking the richness within a tiny fragment of the poetic waltz by Enrique Granados. Listen again to the fragment at your leisure, and you might just find, like a good book, there's always more to experience. Special thanks to Joshua for his contribution and conversation on the Patchwork Suite. To learn more about the podcast, or to revisit the original Granados theme, queue up the Patchwork Suite Episode 1 and find all subsequent episodes online at wgte.org.